Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, my next guest is about to release his debut album called Grown Ass Kid. The Grammy award-winning producer steps in front of the mic. Give it up for Camo B.
How come I can't do what I won't do? How come trying to get this straight, no doubt I come through? How come we've been through the death dreams, but my home since my cradle hit the floor, tend to hit my scrum. Remember when I was a kiddo, growing up in the middle, windows lining my smile, silver teeth underneath my pillow, and hanging out in that big head like a Brillo pad. Sister said I need to do something about them B2B naps. Snacking on 80 caps and a pickle and a quart of water, walked in the barbershop asking what I wanted. I told that man I wanted to look like Superman, but when he had the long hair, you know, kind of like Michael Jackson, the damn barber just started laughing. I cried as he gave me that ball fade. Afro puffs at the flow, symbolic of shedding my innocence. I guess I thought they were magicians or alchemists or mathematicians. But algebra and calculus, algorithms designed to cure me of my nappiness. Like a perm burn off my happiness. I sat silently acquiescent, pitfalls of adolescence, spitballs and scrabble sessions and tattletales. Playing around in the hallway like one of Santa's elves. You wanna go to jail? Hell no, Mrs. Smith. Got sent to the principal for my potty mouth, talking about some give me your numbers so we can call the house. But give me that shot, so the ink stain in my record now. You pull a comb to my afro, it'll shatter crackle like a bowl full of Rice Krispies, rolling my innocence in a cigarillo like. How come I can't do what flow I won't do? How come trying to get this straight, no doubt I come through. How come we've been through the night dreams, been on hold since my cradle hit the floor, tend to head my dinner scrum.
Camo B makes beats for several of the top hip-hop artists working today, whether it's winning a Grammy for his work on Chance's Coloring Book or producing tracks for J. Cole, SZA, or other Chicago artists like Vic Mensa. Cam has had an amazing couple of years behind the scene, but it's time for him to step out on his own. We just heard the single off the album Tenderheaded. It's still his signature beats, but now we get to hear the artist in full. Camo B came here from Vegas 6 years ago, and he has been a huge reason why Chicago is at the center of a hip-hop renaissance. He's my guest tonight, Camo B. Thanks for being here. Great to meet you, man.
Man, thank you. Thank you.
It's amazing because for a lot of hip-hop fans in Chicago, they know your name automatically because you have produced some of the tracks that put Chicago on the map. When you talk about Cocoa Butter Kisses, Chance the Rapper, and a lot of the artists I just talked about, do you recognize that? Do you think in your head, oh my God, I've been a part of all of the Chicago music that's just getting gobbled up now?
I mean, not until like it's mentioned to me, you know, in that way, to be honest with you. Yeah, it's like it's surreal to realize that the impact that I made was that big because of the fact that, I don't know, I just never looked at myself as that important, you know, I don't know.
Let's talk about your style, because you came here from Las Vegas in 2012.
Yes, in 2012,
and so
yeah.
What were you coming to Chicago for?
Originally, when I first came out here, I didn't know anybody at all. Came out here to work with Rocky Fresh. He's from Chicago. He signed Rick Ross's label, MMG.
Yeah.
And I knew one person. It was a producer from out here named Nascent. I told him I was trying to get beats to Rocky at the time, and he told me that he knew his DJ. So
as his, one does, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so he linked us up over email, and I remember I just started talking to him back and forth for about a few months, probably like from September to November, and around December is when he was like, you should just come out here for a week and get in the studio with Rocky. You know, I ended up coming out for that week. I was only supposed to be here for that week. I ended up calling my job after the week was up to tell them I wasn't coming back because I was just like, it just felt good. It felt right. I didn't know, like, he was the first person I met besides Nascent out here. It just felt like I needed to be here. So, and I went through a lot before that. You know, I was depressed. I was like, music wasn't picking up like I wanted it to, you know.
So when you got here in Chicago and you got in the studio with Rocky, you recognized that there was that pull. There was something there that was fulfilling you.
Yes, exactly. And it was crazy because I actually didn't even meet Rocky during that first week. The first person I met was Vic Mensa, actually. LPZ is the one that introduced me. LPZ is the guy that, he was a DJ. He told me...
These DJs, they keep coming up, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They're the connectors. I think that's what we're learning, right?
Exactly. Yeah, he was like, yo, I know someone who would sound really good over your sound, over your beats, and it was Vic. And the first thing we made was Hollywood Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Like, in December.
And talk about that experience, because obviously Vic Mensa and the Save Money crew at that point were not as known as they are today. Vic Mensa, Chance the Rapper, all those guys down the line have outstanding careers going right now.
Yeah.
But what was it about the relationship with Vic and how he performed as a lyricist and how you produced beats that made you guys a good couple?
At the time, like, we were both, like, just trying to do something different, you know? For me, because I've been making beats since I was, like, 11 years old, I've been doing it so long that, you know, I get bored doing the same thing, and I'm always wanting to, like, push boundaries and just do different stuff with the sound, you know? And he was trying to do the same thing. That's, like, the main thing that, like, connected us, you know, at the beginning. He was trying to push boundaries, and so was I. And he was just a dope, super dope lyricist, super dope rapper.
Yeah, he's amazing. When I hear your stuff, and it is for music lovers and, mm-hmm. and people who listen to hip-hop in particular, your stuff does stand out. Is that the, when you think about the motivation and what makes you stand out, is the fact that you do get bored easily and you push the boundaries? Because even Blessings on the Chance record, on Coloring Book, everything about Cam that you put your fingers on, it does sound different. So talk about where that sound comes from. Is it really come from the fact that you get bored easily?
That's not the only thing, but that's part of it. Because I have a lot of like philosophies too about the creative process, you know, where ideas come from.
Yeah, let's get into it. Okay, there's a place to do it, right?
Right, exactly. I love to think about that. Like, I mean, not to get too deep into it, but like, I'm just really into psychoanalysis, which is the study of the subconscious mind and dreams. I feel that like all ideas come from that subconscious place and come from improvisation. You tap into that subconscious place through improvisation, through doing things at random. That's like the first thing. That's why jazz is what it is.
Right.
You know, because improvisation is like at the heart of it.
That's interesting to think about because when I've heard, you know, reading stuff on you and, you know, even in the music, you do get that dreamy kind of feel from the tracks that you're producing. And even, I guess that's what we quote unquote call dreamy is that sound. But when you approach a beat, there's the construct of what you have to put together in terms of the music, meaning, you know, following the 8 beats or whatever it might be. You have to do that. But the improvisation comes on top of that to find ways to make it stand out, right? That's the concept.
That's the concept. And like you said, you mentioned the dreamy quality, which is good to hear that from someone else because that's definitely something that I'm trying to do, you know?
But like, it's there.
Yeah. As a kid, like, I've always been into, you know, video games and the Disney musicals, you know? So, like, I always try to make my stuff sound that way, too.
Awesome. That's awesome to hear. In studio tonight, Cam OB. He is a producer in Chicago who's about to put out his debut album, A Grown-Ass Kid, Grammy Award-winning producer who produced on Chance's Coloring Book. Let's take a quick break. Come back. And I want to talk about the new music. I also want to talk about the process. I'm always fascinated on how you collaborate. You're a producer and you have the beats and you're able to get into a studio with Chance the Rapper or other people. Mm-hmm. How that process works, just to give us a bird's eye view of it. We'll do that coming up here. Cam will be my guest tonight. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest in studio, hip-hop producer Cam OB. He's Grammy Award winner for his work on Chance the Rapper's Coloring Book, the song Blessings, which is a great song. Mm-hmm. Also, so many great songs. Cocoa Butter Kisses did a lot of Chance with Acid Rap. And also, just amazing J. Cole, SZA, Vic Mensa. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. But he is moving out of the studio and into his own right as a hip-hop artist. He has a debut album coming out called Grown-Ass Kid. Why this move? I read places where you always considered yourself a producer. You said, I'm never going to be the guy who gets in front of the mic. Tell us about this move. Why move to the forefront?
I guess ultimately it got to a place where my own music became the most creatively fulfilling thing I was doing. But besides that, there's a lot of reasons. One of them is, like, you know, as a producer for other people, you know, I have to realize other people's visions.
Right.
And put mine aside for theirs, which is like a good thing, you know, because it helps the artists, you know, become who they're meant to be sonically. But I got to a point where it started to hurt to do that for so long.
Yeah, I always wonder about that. I guess the question I would have for you, as you can answer this both ways, as a producer and as the rapper, the guy in front, but how much do you change your sound for other artists? If you're working with Vic, Chance, any of the J. Cole, whatever, how much of you and your producer mind is saying, you know what, this sounds like a J. Cole beat, or this sounds like a Chance beat. I'm gonna write for him. I'm going to put this together for him. And how much of it is, no, this is a Camel B joint. If you want it, great, work with it. And if not, let's go in a different direction.
I would say it kind of shifted over time, but it's always kind of been just me just being who I am and just giving what I give. And if you like it, great. If not, then whatever. Like, every time I've ever tried to, like, fit in someone's world, you know, hypothetically, like, a lot of times I don't even get to meet the person before I work with them. It never really goes over well, and I end up sounding like somebody else, you know? So, yeah, over time, I got to a place where I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to just do what I do. If they like it, that's good. If not, then fine. It's crazy because I got one placement off of just being myself and doing what I do, regardless of what the other person does. It's Big Sean, Living Single.
Yeah.
I remember I met him on J. Cole's tour for Forest Hills Drive, and he invited me on his bus to play him some beats, and like I had made this beat like backstage, and I had no idea that he was going to invite me to do that. And so when I got there, I thought I was unprepared. I was like, oh man, I don't even have anything. Like, because he had just, like, he was doing club stuff, and the Living Single beat is not that at all. And so I was like, this is what I got. So I played it for him.
And he liked
it. He loved it, yeah.
Is that normal how it works for producers to be in a position where you get these chance meetings with artists like Big Sean or J. Cole, and you're like, what do you got? And you got to be ready to pull your computer out and be like, how about this? Yes. I mean, is that how it works?
Not all the time, but yes, sometimes it does. Like with artists like that, especially major label artists, it can be that way. It could be like that quick and cutthroat. Ultimately, like I told you, I choose whatever fulfills me creatively over anything else. That's why I'm doing my own album. So like, but even when I make beats, if I'm gonna make a beat, I'm not gonna do it unless I'm like fulfilled from it at some way, because it has to be real for me. But what's cool is that like I've gotten up to this point without having to compromise my sound, where everyone has told me since I was a kid that you're gonna have to like start doing this pop stuff, you gotta start doing this club stuff,
right.
And I'll do that, but I'm not gonna do it like everybody else. And it's good to be at this place where I've like gotten this far. I've never had to like compromise.
How competitive is it for us listening? I don't know anything about the world of hip hop producing, but how competitive is it? Is there a lot of guys who are hanging out backstage with beats in their pocket, ready to hoping that an artist says you?
Yes.
I mean, is it like that? Is it almost like the old style of like joke writers waiting for Johnny Carson to come off stage? I've got one for you. I mean, is it like that?
Yeah, I mean, yes. In some places, it is in the major music industry, it is very competitive, and that's exactly why I feel like it has that, I don't know, that's where the pressure comes from. But that's part of the reason why I'm doing my album too, because I got tired of just waiting. Because you know, when you're a producer, you don't have any work if no one's making an album, you know, and you kind of have to wait for somebody to make an album.
Yeah.
And then you have to vibe for a position on that album, you know, and then like, you know, you got to hope that what they're doing is aligns with what you want to do,
right?
And all these things have to line up. And I've been blessed to be able to be in Chicago where people were already like into stuff I was into, but after a while I got to a place where I was like, I like the stuff I was doing was just too weird for everybody else. That's the thing. I got to a place where the stuff I was in was too weird. So you know, even like working with artists, they, like I said, they have their vision, and my vision's always different. So
now you put it all together to be your vision.
Exactly, put it all together. Yeah.
I think about, you'll watch documentaries about rock and roll producers, right? You'll see the one guy running around the studio, Jimmy Iovine. He's got, you know, he's rolling the rock and the reel-to-reel tape, and he's getting the band set up.
Yeah.
And then you think of, even, I think of what you know about Kanye West and others, where every song has a number of producers or producers that are working and putting beats together. It's changed in the way that there can be several producers on a record. Chance's record, there's a litany of people who have contributed to that record. Are you comfortable with that? Are you the kind of producer who's like, well, I can give it to this one track? Or would you like to be one who says, you know what, I'd like to command and be in charge of this album?
I think it depends. It depends on the situation, on the project at hand, because sometimes an artist will bring me something that I think it's like, it sounds great as is, it just needs like little things, and I would never want to touch it and change it, you know. In that situation, I would rather just be an overseer and just be the song whisperer, you know, make sure, you know, just make sure the song doesn't get compromised. Because I feel like when I'm like making music, it feels like it's almost like the song is speaking to me and it's telling me what it wants, and it's also telling me what it doesn't want. Tell me what it likes, what it doesn't like. And I can just sit and just feel it, and it's like, okay. Like, it's just funny sometimes. I'm like making a beat, and it's just only a few elements, and I'm like, well, it sounds empty. Let me try to add this. And it's just like, nope. Like, can I add this? Nope. It just tells me, it's almost like it tells me no. And I'm just like, it tells me I'm done. And so sometimes I like to just be that person to be the translator between the song and the people. You know, but yeah.
Grown Ass Kid is highly anticipated because a lot of people know your work and you've been involved in all the artists that I've talked about, all these artists that are up and coming or have established themselves as the moment right now when it comes to hip hop, not just here in Chicago, but the entire world.
Yeah,
you know, I wonder about producers have gotten more and more credit in the last decade. I think Kanye West has a lot to do with that in the way that we start to learn who's producing albums, who's actually doing the beats, who's constructing the songs. Where it used to, at one point, you didn't know who was actually putting together a Dre or you know, Dre was, you know? You don't know anyone else. Or the idea was you didn't know who they were on because the artist was the person who was on. But in this new movement, there are so many people that we're becoming attached to the producers. Mm. We're becoming attached to the people who are behind the scenes. Do you feel that as a producer, especially in the work that you're doing right now?
Definitely, especially way more now than it was when I first started making beats. Like when I first started making beats was like in 2001. Yeah, it was definitely way different. Even the internet was different. It was dial up back then. You know?
Yeah, right.
You know, so
it might have something to do with it, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think it does. But yeah, I feel that. And that's also part of what kind of gave me the confidence to like to make my own album at first. And this was before I even was writing raps or anything like that. I was just making beats, and I was gonna do like a compilation at first. Then the lyricism and the songwriting part kind of came later, which I don't know where it came from. I feel like I learned it through osmosis from being around rappers my whole life.
Absolutely, that's building skill, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's cool because I just got it. It clicked in my mind one day, and I was like, I understand like what makes a dope verse. I understand what makes effective writing, effective lyrics. So that's when I started to be like, okay, so now I can like really like tell my own story, but I just tell my own story, but send messages that I want to send instead of having to rely on the artist to do it.
Yeah. Okay. So my last question for you is just a lot of hip hop is about confidence. It's about swagger, but I could tell from just talking with you that you're open-minded to the and open about the fact that it's scary to jump out on your own, right? Scary to get in front of a microphone and do something that you just told us. You just kind of learned through osmosis how to do this. But as someone who's had success and had to come from really from nothing to come into Chicago with knowing nobody.
I was homeless when I first got here, too.
Homeless when you got here.
Yeah, exactly.
To where you're at now, where you're pushing boundaries to put your own record out and the whole rap industry is looking forward to what you're going to put out. Talk about the emotions that go into that whole experience and your evolution.
Man, it feels like you said the confidence thing, like it was a big thing for me. I used to tell myself I'm never gonna like get in front of them. I'm never gonna be that guy. You know, like, but I realized it because of the confidence. It's like it's scary. It's like terrifying. I've been working on this album since 2013. Part of the reason why it took so long too is because I never had the confidence to just believe in myself in that way. You know, I always had to use somebody else as an excuse to be like, I'll just be somebody's sidekick. I'll do this for this guy. But every time I tried that, after a while, it just started falling. Everything started falling through. And then on top of that, my sound just kept getting weirder and weirder, and more people would turn down my stuff. Like, I'd be working with artists, and I've done like full albums with artists that just got shelled by the label because it's too left. You know,
interesting.
Yeah, that happens. There's so much music out there that I've done that doesn't come out, and that hurts so much. So once I got to that point, I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to do my own thing. That was a battle. And I went through a lot of stuff, but I remember I got to a point, the last thing I did before I like decided to, okay, I'm gonna do this. Long story short, I remember I went scuba diving and I can't even swim. Like, I don't even know how to swim. It was the most terrifying experience I've ever had in my life, but doing it, it kind of, for me, it symbolized like facing my fears, you know? Mm-hmm. After I did it and came out and emerged from it, I wasn't afraid of anything. I went like 60 feet down into the ocean.
Jeez.
You know, and I came back and I just started writing the album.
There you go.
Yeah.
My guest in studio tonight, Cam OB, his album Grown Ass Kid is out soon. The Grammy Award winning producer who's produced for Chance the Rapper, J. Cole, SZA, Vic Mensa, just to name a very small percentage of artists that Cam OB has produced with. The album is coming out soon. I can't thank enough, Cam, for coming in and talking about the process and talking about the feelings that go in it. And I love the fact that this album has taken 5 years to put together. So I would assume artists are like, hey, what are you doing with that one beat? You
know, exactly.
You're holding on to it, I'm sure. But we look forward to Grown Ass Kid coming out here. Cam, thanks so much for being a guest.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm trying to prove it you.
Cause I wanna move with you, girl. Yeah. That's why I'm trying to move with you, girl. Cause I wanna move with you, girl. Just sitting on the dance floor. Oh, moving all alone. And when you move that way, girl, makes me try to go to you. Just the way you move makes me want to lose myself to the groove. But I don't really want to do it solo, and I ain't got nothing to lose. So how do I say this? I'm trying to do it with you, girl. Oh yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Cause I wanna do it with you, girl. That's why I'm trying to do it with you, girl.